Christ. All right, so let's start the next piece of Christ. Ze omashal avosi, ve ze omashal avosi, right? So what's the case? All right, so let's take this case. So what's the case over here? Each one comes and says it belongs to his father. Bein besfina bein mekarka ve'ein edus v'chazaka l'zeh yosemizeh. Okay. There's really no edus or chazaka at all. All right. So what's the din? Kol domgvar. Okay, so the Gemara says, u'mayishno mishnei shdoros hayotzim biyom echad. Okay, so that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara wants to know, it's a question of how based in the different resolutions of based in. How come in the case of where they both say it belonged to their father, or the case of the arva that we were doing before, right? How come in those cases the Gemara says kol dolim gvar? How come the din is kol dolim gvar over there? And yet, by shtei shtaros yotzim biyom echad, it's a machlokus if it's yachloku or shudu the dini. So how are the cases similar? Why are the cases similar? What's the Gemara's question based on? Why are the cases similar that the Gemara should ask? Let's take a look at the Rashbam. We know that they're not muchzakim. Neither one's a muchzak because we know that neither one owned it yesterday, right? And now they have equal raya. So who's a muchzak?
Either one, and
they're equal. So there's no chazaka here. No one's a muchzak in it. Okay. I mean, they have equal raya, but that's not the same thing as being a muchzak. All right. So you got the question, right? So the question is clear. Question is, How come by the case of the Svina and where they each say it's belong to their father, that we say kol dolim gvar, and neither one has a better raya or chazaka than the other, and yet by the case of shnei shtaros a yotzim biyom echad, to machlokus Rav and Shmuel whether it's yachloku or shudu the dining. Do the machlokus Rav and Shmuel. Now let's do the Gemara's answer first. The Gemara says what? Alright, so the thing is like this. I don't want to lose the big picture. The big picture of what this Gemara is about is the Maisa Beis Din. How is Beis Din engaged, and how do they operate differently under these seemingly similar situations? Right? Why is it? That's really the Gemara's analyzing the process of Beis Din. How come two cases that come before Beis Din and look similar get treated differently? Okay, obviously, that's the main question. The Gemara goes through this case, the case of the Shalavosi, the case of the Shtei Shtaros, and the case of the Para, right? I'm trying to explain how each case is different, and that's why Beis Din has to, that's why Beis Din functions differently. So it's really a question of the function of Beis Din. Now, obviously, within that is the machlokus of Rav and Shmuel about exactly what they do in the case of Shtei Shtaros. So we'll stop to take up that machlokus briefly, but you have to realize that's not the ikar over here, right? I don't want to lose sight of the ikar. Okay, all right. So what, real quick, we'll come back to this. So in other words, what's the Gemara's answer in terms of the big question? The Gemara's answer is that you're right. They're really, in terms of the merits of the case, in terms of what's in front of Beis Din right now, they're the same. Right? In terms of what Beis Din sees right now, they're the same. The only difference is one is possible to have new facts later that will resolve it absolutely, and one will never be able to resolve it absolutely. All right, but let's go to the question of the of Yachloku versus Shudu Daini. Go ahead. Yachloku.
The Sveiko. The Lekol Neymar is a Sveik. The Lekol Neymar, Alpha Moti Mechavera. There's no Moti Mechavera here. The Ein Echad Mukhtab Mechavera.
Okay, so Rav says it's a Sveik. It's a Sveik. So, and you can't call one a Moti Mechavero. So it's not like It's not like a Sumchus case where one is a Muchzak. It's a complete Suffolk. There's no Mari Kama. There's nothing that you can rely. There's no other way to resolve the Suffolk. It's a complete Suffolk. So you split it. And Shmuel says,
Shmuel the Daini.
So the Rashbam learns that Shuda the Daini means that the Dayanim have to try to figure out who this guy really intended to true shtar, who he intended to give the true shtar to. In other words, a person can't be machna the same thing twice. Right? Not possible, because you can only give what you have. If you gave it away the first time, you don't have it for the second time. So one shtar was really genuine, and the other shtar was fake. So
Reuben never really did the second one.
No, he did. He did both of them, but he didn't really intend one of them. He didn't have Gemir's das on one of them. One of them he didn't really intend to give. One of them was a fake. He didn't intend to give it. One second. So the Bali Dinam, the Dayanim have to figure out who did he really intend to have for the. Who did he really intend the karka to belong to? Who did he really intend the karka to belong to? And who did he just give it as a nice gesture?
Isn't there a machlokes as to who he is, the Baal?
No, the original Baal everyone knows. The original Baal is Reuven. Everyone knows Reuven owned the field. And he gave it to Shimon and Levi. Right? One of them obviously he meant to give it to, and the other one, whatever, he was fooling him, whatever it was. Whatever his intention was, or giving him a shtar that doesn't convey anything, we don't know. But one of them we know was to convey the field. So Shuda the Daini, he's saying, is that the Dayanim have to figure out, they have to do some sort of psychological profile and figure out who he really would give the field to. Why do you do this? So he says, because if you do chalukah, then you're definitely not giving half to the rightful owner. Then the rightful owner is definitely losing out on half. At least over here, there's a chance that the rightful owner will get his. So it's a strange machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, right? I mean, it's a very strange machlokas. And what does he say? He says, shuda means what? Hashlocha. Throwing. Yeah. So. All right, now Tosus learns differently by Shuda the Daini. That it's really, he says, Nir l'rvein tam l'misha yirtza dayan litain. V'lo kapir shakuntras. She yamdu daito shel nosein. It's a strange shita. I mean, it's a strange shita. There's a lot of Rishonim learn that way. That it doesn't mean they try to figure out who he would really want to have given it to. Who he really intended it to go to. But it's just their discretion. It's the discretion of the Dayanim to give it to whoever they wish. Whoever they like. The Ramban says it's Shuda the Daini comes from like Shochad the Daini. Like whoever they are appeals to them more. But not in terms of figuring out who it really went to. We'll leave Tosis aside now. I just wanted to, maybe we'll come back to it. But the Rashbam is learning that they're trying to figure out who the original Baal really wants it to go to. Alright, let's see. So let's continue. So the Rashbam continues. Well, let's continue with the whole piece, and then we'll come back and try to analyze the machlokas. I think you have to understand why it's Shuda the Daini to understand the machlokas a little bit better too. Right? Because the Gemara explains why is it Shuda the Daini. Then maybe we'll have a better idea of what Shuda the Daini should mean. What it should mean. In other words, Rav and Shmuel are arguing about what is Shuda the Daini, right? I mean, I'm sorry, Rav and Shmuel are arguing what do you do in this case? But we have to first understand why this case is different to begin with to help us understand what the proper resolution is. Okay? So that's what the Gemara says. Why is this case different than the case of Kol Dol and Gvar? One of them is Ika L'Meka Mola Milso, that's our case, and the other one, but Kol Dol and Gvar, is Leika L'Meka Mola Milso. What does that mean? So let's see. Go ahead, Rashbam. That's the key over here, right? So the Rashbam explains it. What does it mean? That by the case of the Beis Shtaros, Hayotzim B'Yom Echad, there's no way, Beis Din does not, according to the facts before Beis Din, there's no way that any further clarification, that any further edus could come to prove one way or the other. There's nothing to wait for. Everything is locked in right now. So therefore, based in is what? Says it, what does he say? He says, "V'ein levarer li olam hadin in me." There's no way ever to figure out who the rightful owner should be based on what?
Right.
Based on Rios. There's no way ever for Basin, from what they see now, everyone has to, you have to go by what you see now. So from what Basin sees now, there's no way that this will ever be clarified by Rios. So therefore, what do they do? Mishtadlin, Heshtadlis, that's what they do. Mishtadlin Basin Bidinon, Bidonin Oso. They strive in their din, and they judge it. But by the case where they each claim that their fathers own the land, they don't do it.
Really?
Hold on. So he says, but over here, by the case of the Sodeh, there's no Edus at all, right? But it's possible that Edom could come and testify and resolve absolutely who the karka belongs to. Hilkach ein kan loma chaluka v'shuda. Therefore, we don't say over here chaluka or shuda, whichever one you pick in the other case. Why? Why dishema yavo Edom v'yistu es adin shadona beisim? Because maybe Edom will come and contradict the psak that Basin gave out. Right? They'll contradict the din that Basin made. Because they'll say, if it was Chaluka, they're definitely going to be contradicting it, right? Because Edom aren't going to come to say that it belongs to both of them. And if it was Shuda, maybe the wrong guy got it. So Hilkach ain based in this Kokin Lohem Lodun Din Shesofo Lovo Lide Ivus. Basin won't join together to give a din that ultimately will come to a perversion of justice. Ela manichim osam b'chol dolam gvar ad sheyavou edim v'yivaru adavar. Okay, so that's really the big question. The big question is, what's the difference? Before we get to the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, the main question is what? What's the difference between the case of the boat or the property that's in the dispute versus where they say kol dolam gvar versus the shtei shtaros where they do chaluka or shuda d'daini? Yeah, so what's the difference? Yeah, so the chiluk is that what? So he's saying that what? That it's true in terms of... So what's he saying? He's saying Basin won't give the din of chaluka or shuda d'daini if what? What did you say, Shai? If it's possible that a better din can come. So now he's saying that there are two levels of the din of Basin. Right? In other words, it's not that kol da'olim gvar... I'm sorry. It's not that Beis Din can't do chaluka or shuda d'daini in the other case, right? It's not that they can't do it, right? Because they could always do it, but they refuse to become involved if it's possible that ultimately the din that they give of chaluka or shuda d'daini will be disproven, will be rejected. If they're going to have to come back and reinstate an opposite psak to what they're going to, they're not going to give one psak that they might be forced later to retract and disqualify. Right, so there's always a later psak that's possible. There's always a later psak that's possible.
The issue is that they should be making the decision based on what they know at this point.
They have to render a
judgment. Right, but the point is they don't know anything at this point. They don't know anything.
It's only function.
So in other words, but that's a good question. I mean, Marshall, when Basin doesn't know anything, do they function or not? If they function, so that's it. They're doing the best they can right now, and they always do the best they can right now, right? And if they can function when they have nothing, so then they can't ever do chaluka.
And if they have nothing,
Let's do this. Let's just take each case. Let's just try to define each case. I think what Shai said is a good definition of here. That shuda d'daini and chaluka is only done when
the lover has better.
when they'll never have a better din, when they'll never have a din based on Eidus. If there's no possibility of a din based on Eidus, then they'll do Shuda D'Dayni and Yechlogu. And that's the essential chiluk that the Gemara is making. By the case of the Zeshel Avosi, it's possible there is before Basin the possibility of a din on Birur of Edom. That possibility exists. Then they won't give a din of Shuda D'Dayni or Yechlogu, right? But by the case of Beis Shtaros, Yosem B'Yomechad, there's no possibility, according to what's known, there's no possibility of a din based on Birur Edom. So then they give the, then they do the, then they'll do Shuda D'Dayni or Yechlogu.
Can't be just the fact that I say.
No, you're right. And it's only because the din of Shuda D'Dayni and Yechlogu is inferior to the din of Edom.
Right.
Correct? Okay. Because otherwise, even though they have Edom, maybe they'll say, well, more Edom will come and contradict these Edom. Right? So let's try to understand now we're in a position to understand the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. In other words, now we know that Shuda D'Dayni, that in the case of Beis Shtaros, Yotzim B'Yom Echad, It's a different kind of a din. They're just mishtadlin ladun, right? It's a different kind of a din, and that's what the Gemara is saying when they're that type of a din they won't engage in, if it's possible that what, if the true din is still possible, right? Because as long as the true din based on Rios, what's the difference? Well, how would you define definitively what's the difference between the din of Shuda D'Dayni and Yechlogu versus the din of versus the din of Edom?
Edom?
Yeah.
One's an educated guess and one's a reality.
No, it's right. Shuda D'Dayni and Yechlogu is just the base din. Is really the based in giving a psak based on their own, like you're saying, based on their own das, or their own mechanism, as opposed to reacting to the evidence that's before them. As when Edom come and they give a din, so then the Edom are establishing the facts, and they're validating them, they're verifying them, but the din is based on the Edom. Whereas these dinim of Yachloku or Shuda D'Dayni is really just based on the is based on the mechanism of basin itself, okay. But anyway, so that's why it's inferior. That's why it's inferior, because it's not based. It's not forced by evidence. You understand? But let's go back. So what's the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel? When Basin doesn't function, now we can put the question better. The machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, when Basin is not going to function based on Eidus, right, what should they do? Should they do Chalukah or should they do Shuda D'Dayni? How do you define a machlokas like that?
Staros, right?
You have to take one thing important from the sugya. The Gemara is saying there's nothing intrinsic in the case of Zeshel Avosi or the Arva that prevents a din of Chalukah or Shuda D'Dayni. Well, Shuda D'Dayni wouldn't be Shaykh. But there's nothing that prevents a din of Chalukah in those cases.
In which case?
Where the two guys claiming ownership of the boat.
The two guys claiming
they could have done Yechlogu. The only reason they don't is because it's still possible for Beis Din to function with Raya. Right? That's the only reason why they don't do Yechlogu. That's what the Gemara is saying. There's nothing in the case itself. There's nothing in what they're doing that determines whether they do Yechlogu or shoot or Kol Dolam Gvar, according to the Gemara. It's just what other possibilities are still out there that's gonna close off certain functions of Beis Din. If there's a possibility of a din al pi Edom, they won't do Yechlogu. You understand? But it's not like the Yachloku of our Mishnah in Shnayim Ochsim. It has nothing to do with that.
Because it's a pshara.
Yeah, because this is vaday not true. It's vaday not true that it belongs to the shtar matana is certainly not giving it to both of them. That's vaday not true.
Right, but even if it's not
forced reason, he's saying, now, according to this Gemara, Kol Dol and Gvar is just because they won't do something. But whenever there's an opportunity to do something, they will. There has to be a reason why they will not do something. Or to indicate it goes to... this decision has nothing to do with the shtaros. There's nothing in the shtaros that indicates it's yachloku, and there's no chazaka that they're forced to say each one owns half. And there's nothing certainly in the shtaros that says who the guy loves more. That's certainly not in the shtaros. It's totally extra evidentiary. Right?
He's just watching his back pretty much.
Well, we have to see. What Chaim is saying is very good. We'll go over it. Yeah, you want to see something else?
Yeah,
everything is timing. Okay, so let's just restate the question. So in other words, the question is like this: Rav is saying yachloku, and Shmuel says shuta d'daini. So what's the machlokas? How do you define the machlokas? So Rav says split it, and Shmuel says no, don't split it, because if you split it, then definitely one is going to get is going to lose half. Then the rightful owner will definitely lose half. But if you give the shuta d'daini, the rightful owner might get the whole thing. So, I mean, what's the machlokas? So Rav is Shmuel's a gambling man, and Rav likes to play it safe. Rav says, no, play it safe. At least let the owner get half. And Shmuel says, no, let's go for broke. It'll be all or nothing. Right? I mean, what kind of a machlokas is that? What's the machlokas? What's the principle that's driving this machlokas? That's what we mean by when we say, what's the machlokas? What's the underlying principle that they're arguing about? So Chaim says like this, Stauber, very good svara, that the question is really like this. In this case, what are we seeing in this case? How do we define this case? We define this case where Beis Din is operating without any evidence. So what do you get to see in this case? What are you really getting to see? In other words, when Edim comes, so then Beis Din is reacting to the facts that are before them. And as establishers of fact, and as a body that establishes fact, essentially, right? That's their primary function. So they have to. That's their outward function. So they have to react to the facts that are before them. So if two Edom come and say, "This belongs to Reuven, this belongs to Shimon," they must enact that din. Okay, that's based in interacting with the external facts. But over here there are no facts that Beis Din is interacting with. So you'll get to see, you sort of peel back one layer of Beis Din, and you'll get to reveal what really makes Beis Din tick. What's really the essential quality of Beis Din? Now, while Beis Din is functioning with Edim, that's overt what they're doing. They must do that. They can't ignore facts. They can't ignore realities, right? But over here is an interesting case where there are no more facts ever to be had. So the way that they handle this really shows you what's their essential quality, what's their essential function. So that's what Chaim is saying is machlokas. That Shmuel is saying, when they can't do din in the ultimate sense, they must do din to the greatest ability that they have. Right? Now, is the essence of Beis Din, why is Beis Din, what's the essence of Beis Din? Emes. The essence of Beis Din is Emes. To try to establish what the Emes is. Edim is a very valuable tool. Right? Because you're limited, as everybody knows. If you don't have the right facts, it's hard to have the right svara, right? So, Edom is essential because they give you the facts, correct? But what happens when the facts are, when there are no more facts? So, based in as essentially a mevarer of MS, as the ones who are striving for MS, they're mishtadl for the MS. So they have to be mishtadl too over here. They still have to keep striving. To the best of what they can do, that's what they must continue to do. So if there are no Edim, they have to use every other means that they have. Once these two Balei Dinim entrusted them and charged them to be a Beis Din, they must function like a Beis Din. And they're going to function like a Beis Din. So according to Shmuel, the essential function of Beis Din is to be Mevara the Emes. So when there are... So if there's Edim possible, so then they have to wait for the Edim. Because to not wait for the Edim would be an affront to MS. Right? They can't do it. They can't say, we're just not going to care about Adam. We're going to give it our best guess. The only reason they have the right to give it their best guess is because there are no Adam. And they still have to function. Correct? So, but since their function is to try to be Mavara the MS, they'll have to use every means that they have now. So they have to go interview the families, interview his friends, and they try to figure out who he really intended it to go to. That's very nice. Now I understand Shmuel. If that's a Kashrut Hadayin, according to Rashbam. Right. According to the Rashbam. But what about Rav? So what about Rav? So he's saying that Rav holds no. The essence of Beis Din is not to be Mavar the Emes. It's Tikkun Olam. It's Tikkun Olam. Emes is the high. Emes is the highest form of Tikkun Olam because everybody's happy with the Emes, right? Because it shows you that it's true. Because you can't argue with the Emes. You can't argue with the Emes. You can't. But when there's no Emes available, Yachloku is the only thing to do. To settle the case, you have to settle it. You settle it with Yachloku. You have to use another method of settling the dispute. But that's the question. Can they go down to Yachloku? Can they go down to Yachloku or not? According to Shmuel, they can't. Because their whole essence is to be Mavara Emes. And therefore, the only thing they can do is to strive to their greatest potential. But Rav is saying no. That's not the essence. The essence is Tikkun Olam. Emes is one way. Emes is one way. When you have Adam, you do Emes. You understand? But without the Adam, that avenue is closed off. You don't. So now you have to go down to what the Iker of Beit. No, the point is like this. The point is like this. They have to do what their essence is when there's no Adam. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Now, what if they don't have the possibility?
So now, Tikkun Olam, since there's no proof, the only Tikkun Olam is to split it 50-50. That's the only fair thing.
Why would Rabbi say that?
It's not Emes. Because he has a different idea of basin. He has a different idea of basin.
No, but it's also Tikkun Olam if you follow Shmuel's route. The case will be settled. There will be
The point I'm trying to make is like this. The point I'm trying to make, I think this is what your point is, right, Chaim? Adam and Raya are all tools of Beis Din. Those are all tools of Beis Din. Okay? But what is the essential activity that Beis Din is engaged in? You want to know what it is? You'll see it when you strip them of their tools. And when you strip them of the tools and you see what they do without the tools, then you'll know exactly what their essence is. Or the opposite. If you have an idea of what their essence is, you'll know what they have to do. When you strip them of their tools.
And what about Kol Olam Gavra?
Kol Olam Gavra is based on not getting involved. That's not a tool. That's them not getting involved.
But if
Ain't this cooking. Ain't this cooking.
If according to Rav, they're Tikkun Olam.
Because he's saying Tikkun Olam is... They can't do it because it would still be an affront to Tikkun Olam since there's a better Tikkun Olam that could be. They can't switch it out.
They're saying Kol Olam Gavra would be better than Eklipa?
No. Raya. Adam coming would be better. MS is definitely better.
Right.
If MS... No, the point I'm trying to make is like this. That MS could be a part of Tikkun Olam. That's the way I'm looking at it. Now, according to Shmuel, Adam is MS. And that's the essence of Beis Din. So now, without it, they have to still function to the best of their ability as MS. But according to Rav, MS and Adam is just a part of the greater stability of society. Settling the dispute is the ikker. How do you settle the dispute over here? How do you settle the dispute? You have to do yachloku.
Why should it be done just to settle?
Because that's arbitrary. Over here it's a Tikkun Olam because each side is getting appeased equally well. In other words, there's a conflict and each side gets appeased exactly the same.
But he obviously holds an MN. It's just
flipping the coin is not good. Flipping the coin is not good.
It's
not MS.
It's being
no, according to Rav, it's not being Mavara Emes.
Why not?
Because it's definitely not MS. Neither one owns half. That's 100% for sure.
So then how can Shmuel say that? I don't understand.
But he doesn't give it the half. He tries to figure out who owns it.
I understand.
He says, so why can't Rav say that we also try to figure out?
Because Rav says we can't Rav says you can't try to figure out who owns it, because once there is no Eidus, once there's no Eidus or a chance for Biror, the only thing Beis Din can do is what they essentially are. That's the point I'm trying to make. Beis Din can only do what they essentially are when they have no tools. They can only function in their pure form when they have no tools. They can't. So if their essence is to be Mavara Emes, then without the tools of being Mavara Emes, they'll do the best Biror of Emes that they possibly can. But if Beis Din is essentially a mechanism to settle the disputes between the parties, and Emes is their biggest tool, when they don't have that, they have to do another type of Tikkun Olam. They can't try to do an ad hoc Emes. That's not what they can't do that. They have to do the best Tikkun Olam that they can do now. Not the best chance at Emes that they can do now, because Emes is not their Iker. The Iker is to settle the dispute. Because it's irrefutable. Now, the only reason Emes is Tikkun Olam, according to Rav, is because it's irrefutable. Nobody could say, well, why'd you do that? That seems unfair. No, because we had to do it. Adam came and said it's it. So that's it. We had to do it. But if the essence is Tikkun Olam, they can't engage in a wishy-washy kind of a Emes pursuit. And they say, well, why'd you do that? That doesn't seem fair. You thought? Yeah, very nice, you thought. Right? That's Yachloku. Because according to Rav, they're always doing Tikkun Olam. When they take Edom and they make a din, it's just that's the best Tikkun Olam. But if the Edom are not there, now they have to do the best Tikkun Olam that's available to them now. So what's that? Two arguing parties appease them each equally. But according to Shmuel, Beis Din is a specific function of being Mevar Emes. And that's always what they're doing. Take away their sharpest knife of Edom, they have to do whatever they can. They have to do whatever they can. So they have to figure out who they think really belongs to.